Parsha Shlach Lecha begins the story of a tragic parasha of Klal Yisrael, where, as the pasuk says, great people, Kulam Anoshim, Roshei Bnei Yisrael Heim, great people actually destroyed their own lives. The Gemara says, Einahem Chelik Olam Haba, in this world and the next, and they destroyed it for an entire generation. I mean, those people who were living with the dream of entering Eretz Yisrael, none of them, from the other Shvatim besides Levi, none of them made it into Eretz Yisrael, and they all died in the Midbar. Nochlupi Grechen all died in the Midbar, never made it into Eretz Yisrael, and for 40 years they were suffering because of this terrible, terrible disaster. What's clear in the parasha is that this was not something that was confined only to the Meraglim themselves, but this washed over to the whole of Klal Yisrael. And therefore they influenced themselves and other people, and it was a disaster of the magnitude that we cannot even imagine. However, even though we see how tragic this was and how powerful it was, there were two individuals that heroically stood up against any kind of negative influence and were able to stand up against and to shine and to grow and to become greater despite everything that's going on. Now, but there's a few chiddushim that I saw this year that actually brings out how actually greater they actually were, Yeshua and Kalev, than no one ultimately imagined. Now, let's just understand what's going on. The pasuk says earlier on, right at the beginning of the parasha, the pasuk says that Moshe, Ve'elish Moshe Hanoshim Hashalach Moshe Losu Es Oretz, pasuk Tezayin, these are the names that Moshe gave to these people who went to travel in the land, to check out the land. V'yikro Moshe lo Hoshea bin Nun Yehoshua. And Moshe then changed the name of Hoshea bin Nun, and he changed it to Yehoshua. And this is really the first time that he really is called Yeshua. Even in the Torah, we find many times the name is Yeshua, it's only Hashem Ha'osid. Only on what we know eventually will be Yeshua, that's Yeshua we're talking about. His real name was Hoshea. So Hoshea bin Nun Yehoshua. Says Rashi, why is that necessary? He spalled all of, he davened for him, Ko Yeshiach Ma'atus Meraglim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall save you from the Eitzah, from the advice, from the Atzas Meraglim. Advice is not a good word over here. From the council, okay. Yeah, from the council of the Meraglim. Let's understand this. So Moshe Rabbeinu davened for Yeshua. Did Moshe Rabbeinu think it was bad to send the Meraglim? If he thought it was bad, why did he do it? So later on, in Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you manipulated me into doing it. But if it was that bad, Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have done it. And if it was, and therefore, if he thought it was bad, why did he do it? Okay? If he thought it was bad, why did he do it? If he didn't think it was bad, why give Yeshua a bracha? So what can we say? Yeah? We thought Taka will be bad. And that's why the Apostle said he gave him a bracha. If it was that bad, why should Yeshua be influenced? So all in all, we see from here, so the Simcha Zisel from Keln, we see from here that even something that is really bad, it is possible for a person to be influenced by that particular element of bad. However great he may be, a person can be influenced, a person can be swayed, and a person can be pulled over to the wrong side through weakness. And Moshe Rabbeinu therefore strengthened him, we'll see how he strengthened him, to make sure that he will not get influenced by it. That is a power of influence. Somebody sent me once a research on psychology that if you put in a room 20 people, 19 of them are queued up, 19 of them know it's research, and you have one person who doesn't know, and you take out an orange ball and you ask the group what colour is this orange ball, and they all answer blue. Research shows that a very, very high percentage of cases, that one person who is not queued up will say it's actually blue, even though he knows it's orange. Psychologically, not pshat that he has an ability to stand up and say, no, these guys are crazy. Psychologically, his brain will actually see what other people are telling him to see. When we turn on the radio, yeah, we hear a lot of things, and we're viewing the world in a way of we're being swayed by the media, whether it's advertising, whether it is their take on world events. And therefore we have to know sometimes that it's very, very important to stand up and to be Kol Yishiyachol Ma'atzas Meraglim. That Kodesh Baruch Hu should save us from these reviews. How is this done? Oh, that's a very good question as well. Why is the pasuk over here? He gave a bracha to Yeshua, and why did he not give a bracha to Koli? Excellent point.
Or any of us.
Or anybody else. Mm. Correct. Very good. Okay. It doesn't seem really fair, does it? I mean, at the end of the day, he gave a bracha to Yeshua. Koli somehow managed to, you know, slip through, but the other ones fell flat in the face. Yeah. So I mean, how can you blame them? Very, very good question. Now listen to this unbelievable chiddush of the Al Shulchan Kodesh. Such a gewaltige chiddush. It's beautiful. He says, we view Yeshua and Kolev as being more refined. We view their chances of survival greater than the other Meraglim. They were somehow on a higher level, and that's how they made it through. Yeah, I mean, that's quite straightforward. Says the Al Shulchan Kodesh making a mistake. Kolev and Yeshua were disadvantaged. They had less of a chance of making it through than anyone else. Shamor ben Zachor, or Shofar ben Choiri, or Gigol ben Yosef. They had trouble. And he's been dyke in the posuk. If you look at the posuk carefully, there are two tribes that were sent out from Shevet Yosef. There was Manasseh and there was Ephraim. Correct? In the posuk it says, Lemate Ephraim Hoshea ben Nun. From the tribe of Ephraim came Moshe ben Nun. Later on, it says, Lamate Yosef, Lamate Menashe, Gadi ben Susi. From the tribe of Yosef, the tribe of Menashe, Gadi ben Susi. So why by one of them does it say, the tribe of Yosef, the tribe of Menashe? And one just says, the tribe of Ephraim. So he says like this, listen to this very carefully. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, had a problem with sending sending out Meraglim from two tribes. He had no problem sending from Reuven or from Shimon. Yosef and Yehuda, he had a problem of sending out Meraglim. Why? Because they came from a source that somehow in their past they had compromised on Emes. They're somehow in the past compromised on speaking Lashon Hara. Yehuda goes to his father and says to his father, Father, Yosef's killed. Hakeno, please recognize, is this the kesenus of your son? Is this the shirt of your son? He was the one who compromised Emes. And therefore, in the Shoiresh, in the source, in the very root of the genetics of that tribe, there could be inaccuracies, very part and parcel of the personality. And therefore, when they're sent out to give over a message, to give bring back information, perhaps Yehuda and his Shevet, there's something wrong with him, and if I prefer not to send from Shevet Yehuda. Yosef had within him, whatever that means, again, that's not this parsha, he had within him Lashon Hara. He goes to his father, and he used to tell his father, Debosom Ra Leviim. He used to bring back the bad speech back to his father. So for Yosef, somehow, to some level, compromise on Lashon Hara. The last thing we want right now is bringing back Lashon Hara and Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to send from two of the tribes. Did not want to send from Yehuda, that Kolev comes from. And did not want to send from Yosef, that is Debosom Ra. On that, the parasha says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're wrong. Ish Echod. Take one person. Every person. Ish Echod means two people. Ish Echod from here, one person from here, which means Yehuda, and one ish echad, one person from there, which means Yosef. How can you do it? Even though it's lemate avoisom, even though you come from the source of coming back to the fathers, that compromises where they come from, says a posuk, still tishlochu, send them. Why? Kol nosi behem. Everyone has within them the ability to be a nosi. Everyone has within them to fight against bad influence, to stand up against what they're brought up to be. And therefore, that is what the apostle says, no, do send them. Therefore, Kolev and Yeshua, which actually came from these sources, from Yehuda and Yosef, were actually compromised. So the apostle, I'm just telling you, later on we know that there was a Yehuda, okay, within Yosef himself, one was Lemate Yosef. There was still an element of Yosef that was in the bad genes, and that was the Mati Menashe, Gadim and Susi. So when it came to Shevet Menashe, there actually was an element of Yosef in there that spoke Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael. But when it came to Ephraim, there was that he dropped off the Yosef. He was able to leave behind the Yosef. It doesn't say Yosef. It just says the Matir Ephraim Hoshea Ben Nun. Because Yeshua Ben Nun did not have the element of Yosef within him.
So then he shouldn't have needed the bracha. But it seriously would have needed it. The element of Yosef with the Dibas and Rahim.
Oh, so what is the bracha for? Good. Okay. So therefore, all he's saying from here is that Kalev and Yeshua did not set off with an advantage. Yeah, they set off with a major disadvantage of having genetic flaws in the spirituality, and however that may be, they were able to overcome them. Yeah, which is an incredible insight of the Al-Sheikh. That's what Pshati says later on. Let's finish off with this Pshat. If you look later on in the Parsha says,
Separate Kalev and Yeshua.
Later on, so a second. Look in Perek Yudalad, Pasuk Chof Dalad. Va'avdi Kolev, and my slave Kolev, my Evet Kolev, Ekev Hoysarach Acheres Imoy. Now, what does the word Ekev mean? It doesn't really mean that. It means despite. Ekev generally means despite. Ekev, despite the fact. Ekev hoisarach acheres imoy, explains the Al-Sheikh. Vaimale acharai, vaivoisiv al ha'oris ashebo shoma vazara yirushana. The Pasuk says, my Eved Kolev, listen to Eved Kolev, Ekev hoisarach acheres, even though he had the ruach acheres. You understand what I'm saying? Even though he had the ruach acheres, even though he had ultimately within him, ruach acheres does not mean to the advantage. Normally, the Ekev, since he had the ruach acheres, you know, he had a different air about him, you know. Ekevus Racheres means he had a disadvantage of having Racheres. He was ultimately influenced by it, but still Veimale Acharai, and he still overcame that and followed me. Vaviyosev El Oritz, he'll get Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so you see from here that it's possible for even a person who would be prone to be sucked into bad influence, it is possible for them to fight it and to overcome it and to grow even over and above those people who would not generally be so influenced. So how do we fight this bad influence? So as we said, Moshe Rabbeinu gave a bracha to Yeshua, and he changed his name from Hoshea to Yehoshua. But you don't find anything about Kalev, and he gave no bracha to Kalev. On the other hand, Chofetz Chaim on the Torah says that the Pasuk mentions that Kolev went to Davin and Chevron. Okay? Kolev went to Davin and Chevron. Pasuk Chof Beis, it says, Vayalu b'negev yovoy at Chevron, he came to Chevron. So Rashi says, Kolev levadoy holach shom. Kolev himself went to Chevron, v'nishtateach al kivrei ovis. And he davin on kivrei ovis, he davin by Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. So Yehenisus lechaverov leos vatzosim. He should not be influenced by his friends to be brought into the bad counsel. Okay, and that's why Kolev got Chevron. Explains that Al-Sheikh, we'll get to that soon. Why did he go to Chevron? Because who's Chevron? Who's in Chevron? Yaakov Avinu. So Kolev understood that he has to go to Chevron to counter the effect that Yaakov Avinu got influenced by his father. Yaakov was manipulated by Yehuda to believe something through Yehuda's dishonesty. So Kolev went to Yaakov Avinu's kevel, hishtateach al kivroi, and say to him, Yaakov Avinu, please be moichel what Yehuda did to you, and therefore allow me not to be influenced by the Meraglim. Yeah, that was his tefillah, that he should not be influenced. So we see here, there's Yeshua being given a bracha by Moshe Rabbeinu, special treatment, and Yeshua didn't go to Chevron. Kolev was not given a bracha by Moshe Rabbeinu, and he went to Chevron. So what is over here? What's going on over here? So the Chofetz Chaim on HaTorah is something that we see that really depends on Das Torah, and all through generations there's been different mahalchim, different ways to conquer and to counteract bad government or bad influence or bad difficult situations of challenges on Yiddishkeit in many generations. I'll give you a few examples. You know, when Zionism came into effect, and Zionism was clearly there, and it was designed by secularists who wanted very much to live like all goyim in their land. It was proved it by statements they made. Herzl wanted to counter anti-Semitism firstly by conversion, and then he saw that wouldn't work, so he wanted to make a Zionist should be like a Jew, should be like any other goy around anywhere in the world. There's absolutely no interest at all in building a country for Torah, as you can. I don't think much has changed since then, and it's very clear that at that time the Haredi Judaism, people who are connected to Torah, could not have a relationship with these people. They could not follow in their views because they're just there to destroy Torah. So there was, at that time, there were two very, very prominent world view how to deal with Zionism. Basically, there was the Satmar approach, and there was the Agudas Yisrael approach. Agudas Yisrael meaning Ger, Bells, the Litvisha Gedolim. How to deal with Zionism. Satmar approach was, these people want to ruin us, we want nothing to do with them. We are going to enclose ourselves in a capsule, we're going to surround ourselves with our own people. We want nothing to do with the government, we're not going to take the money from them. We're going to make our own independent little state within a state. We have nothing to do with these people, not sitting in the government, we're not voting for them. We want nothing to do with them. The advantage of that is that the influence that Zionism have on them is very little, because they're not sitting in a government, they don't have any representation with them, not negotiating with them. But physically it can be very dangerous, because for them, you know, if their interests are at risk, there's very little that they can get from the taxpayer to help them with their needs, because there's not very little interest dealing with these people, you know, and the love isn't, there's no love lost between them, you know. These people are not invited to anything, and these people are just a lot of scorn and scapegoating is done, and these people have nothing to do with the government. On the other hand, there's a good social approach, is by no means cooperating with the government to propagate and to push forward with the Zionist dream, but the real idea is to work with them from the inside to attempt to salvage whatever can be salvaged in order to push forward the agenda of the Frum Jew. And therefore, if it means sitting in the government and attempting by some ways to negotiate with them, to come to terms with, to come to deals with them, to push our interests to the top of the agenda, then we will do so in order to look after ourselves. But by no means we agree with them, and by no means do we, you know, want to follow their agenda. And that's a good as Yisrael. The advantage of that is, financially we probably do better, you know, it's probably looking as if we're part of the society. But a disadvantage obviously is, and we see today, that many people believe that we are just another group within a Zionist government. And we aren't. And we aren't. And therefore there's a danger. So therefore this is very, very much in achleikus of opinions between Yeshua and Kalev. Yeshua was of the belief that we have to be, if there's any trouble with the Meraglim, I'm going to stand apart from them. I'm going to be separate from them. The advantage of that is, I will not be influenced by them. But the disadvantage, obviously, is there's a physical danger. He can be in real danger. If they're all sitting in front of the bus, and he's sitting right at the back of the bus, they're all sitting around the campfire, and he's not there, he's doing something else, and he's the goody-goody on the side, completely disassociated with the other 11, then he is going to be in physical danger. On that physical danger, Moshe Rabbeinu gave him a bracha. And he says, Hashem shall save you physically to make sure nothing happens to you. Why the Yud? We'll see why that Yud soon. Why the change of name? We'll get to that soon. Kalev, on the other hand, worked from the inside. He was a man in the inside. The advantage to that is, he was able to do something Yeshua could not do. Vayas Kalev Esom. Yeah, they had a whole, you know, everyone was there yelling and crying and shouting, oh, what the Meraglim said to us, oh, what's going on? You know, and they gave Kalev the mic. They made room for Kalev. Kalev was able to get up on the stage, and he's one of us, and he gave him the mic. And Kalev said, yeah, Vayas Kalev Esom Lemur. And Kalev stood up and he says, Aloy Nale, we can go up. Yeah? How did he get the mic? And Yeshua couldn't, because he was one of us. The disadvantage of that is that clearly he is spiritually in danger. He could be influenced by them spiritually. And therefore, he had to go to Kivrei Ovis. He had to spiritually build himself up to that he should not be influenced by the Meraglim. So with Yeshua, it was dealing with bad influence by physically disconnecting yourself and therefore physically being in danger. With Yeshua, with the Kalev, it was dealing with bad influence from the inside, from working from the inside and attempting as much as he can to influence those among you to do good and try and salvage what you can from the bad influence for the generations. This has always been a machlekes between my great-grandfather, the Würzburger Rav, Rabbi Yitzchok Doiv Bamberger, he was one of the big gedolim in Germany at the time, and he was the greatest opponent to Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch. And there are many, many letters that are sent between Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch and the Würzburger Rav in the Sefer Shemesh Marpeh, you can see the letters there, that speak very, very strongly one against the other. And the basic machlekus was whether with the reform movement you should totally disconnect with them and make your own entire new society, yeah, of Jews, connect, break away from them, make your own something Gemeinde, what's it called?
Ostritz Gemeinde.
Yeah, completely make an entirely new group of Jews, completely leaving behind all the reform and let them, you know, burn themselves out. And that was the shitta of Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch. And my great grandfather was of the belief that we could not leave these people behind. We've got to work with them and bring them back as much as we possibly can, because once we leave them behind, that's it, who knows what's going to happen to them. And that was a massive machlekes. You have to understand that was huge, huge. I mean, Germany was ripped apart by Hirsch and the Bambergers. That was well known. And that was mamash machlekes Kalev and Yeshua. And this is something within our own lives. There are certain times that within our family, maybe we have secular family, there are certain times when it's just too bad. You know, you have an aunt, you know, you go to family simcha and she's going to berate those parasites, those Haredi Jews, you know, and they don't look after their families and they just sit and study and how dare they, and look at the poor kids suffering. Yeah, sometimes you just don't, you sort of say hello and you sort of keep as far away from her as possible. And then you have, sometimes the advantage would be, you know, to try and negotiate with her and try and get her to see the light. It really depends on who you are and who they are. Yeah, but this is the machlekes Yeshua and Kalev. There's advantages on both sides and disadvantages on both sides, but both were, at the end of the day, efficient to be able to counter the bad influence, and they both made it through, although they had themselves disadvantages. So what was the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu calling Hoshea bin Nun Yehoshua, this Yud? So it's a Das Kanim, it's brought down actually in Yishami in Brochus, I think. It's Yishami Sanhedrin, sorry. Yishami Sanhedrin Perek Ches. The Yishami says that Sarah, beautiful thought this, it's Nine of Torah. Sarah, Das Kanim mentions the Medrash. Yeah, and it's Yishami. And as Nine of Torah connects how this fits in. Sarah name was changed from Sarai to Sarah. The Torah Kodesh Baruch says to Sarai that you cannot have children, so change the name from Sarai to Sarah. Changing name from Sarai, put it that way. Change name from Sarai. So her name was changed from Sarai to Sarah. So the Yud was taken off her name. So the Yud goes to Rebbein Shalom and says, Rebbein Shalom, it's not fair. You start with the smallest guy. Me, I'm the smallest guy. That's the guy you start off with. Rebbein Shalom said, don't worry, I'll compensate you. One, the day will come, I will pay you back. So later on, generations later, that little Yud was still redundant, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took that Yud and said, Yud, you're the end of a word before the end of the name, I'm going to put the beginning of the name. And took Hoshea's Benun and put the Yud in front of it, made you Yehoshua. And that was his Yud. Ad Kan Divrei HaMedrash. Ask of Zalman Sorotskin, lovely. You know, this is not a Rummy Cub game. That's not what he actually uses those words. But Rummy Cub is basically a game where you have an extra number, yeah, and you try and fit the number back into the board to fit in somewhere else. We're not playing Rummy Cub here. You've got an extra Yud. Oops, let's stick it in over there. What is the idea of this Yud complaining? What, the little Yud goes and complains to Rebbeinu Shlomo? What's the idea behind it? What's the concept behind it? What's going on over here? Logically. Maybe I'll pick up whether there is such a thing, but how do one understand it to explain it logically? Says the Zayin HaTorah, such a fantastic thought. He says, what changed when Sarai became a Sarah? What changed was that that Avram Avinu had a child who's called Ishmael till now, who's going to be the one who's going to inherit Avram Avinu. When Sarai's name was changed to Sarah, Sarah had a child called Yitzchok. Yitzchok, kibe Yitzchok yikor lechazara. Yitzchok now became the child that's going to inherit Avram Avinu. And therefore the change from Sarai to Sarah made it that Yitzchok became the one who's going to inherit. Later on, there was a conflict between Yitzchok and Ishmael. Yeah, and he was trying to influence him to the bad. And it reached such an extent where it was necessary, as far as Sarah was concerned, to kick Ishmael out of the house. And Avram Avinu was terribly against that. Avram Avinu, who was makar of everybody, yeah, work from the inside. That's me, working from the inside. Get into the base of the Zohar and work from the inside. He now is faced with kicking out his own son. How does he do that? How do I separate myself? How do I take my son and throw him out of the house? Says HaKadosh Baruch, you know what? Sometimes sorrow is right. And sometimes you have to do what you have to do. And sorrow ultimately is correct. Yitzchak is going to be the one who's going to inherit you, and he is entitled to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, if it means doing anything necessary to separate from bad influence that tells us we do not deserve Eretz Yisrael and we should not go into Eretz Yisrael, we have to do that as well. What gave Yeshua that power? What gave Yeshua that energy, that ability to stand up against everyone else? That Yud from Sarai to stand up and say, kick him out, get rid of him. That Yud moved from Sarai to Yeshua, and if Yeshua had that ability now to stand up and say, that's it, I'm breaking away. If it means listening to you and not going to Eretz Yisrael, not inheriting Eretz Yisrael, or standing by myself against everyone else, making my own little, what's it called, Gemeinde? Auschwitz Gemeinde. Am I my own Yeshua against everyone else? I will do that. So Yeshua took his power from the Yud of, sorry, that was a fantastic vod. It is so, it's so posh once you think of it. Okay? So here we have the power of influence. We have that Yeshua and Kalev ultimately were at a disadvantage, and through their various different ways of dealing with influence, whether it's standing apart or working from the inside, they were able to survive themselves. But the Torah puts a lot of emphasis on what Yeshua did. And the Pasuk says in Perek Lamed, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Lamed, Vayas Kalev es ha'om el Moshe. Kalev was able to quieten down the om to Moshe. And the Pasuk appreciates that. And the Pasuk says later on, and he was able to stand up against the people, asks Moshe Feinstein, end of the day, Tachlis, what did Kalev actually do? Put it all together, what did Kalev actually do? Was he able to swing public opinion towards going into Eretz Yisrael? Was he able to bring people back? The Pasuk says, he says, no, we're going to go up. Oli nale, says Kole, virashno, he says, yes, kiyochel nuchelo, we can. No problem, boys, we can do it. V'hanoshim asha ole imoi, and the people who are with him, the other meraglim, obviously besides Yeshua, omloi nuchelalois, we can't, ki chosak humimenu, it's too difficult for us, too difficult for Rabbein Shleilom. And then they started crying, v'tisikol ha'ed v'nis koilem ha'yifkul, they started crying that night. So what did Kole accomplish? He stood up. He broke away from the coalition he had gained all this trust in. Now he is clearly on the other side in opposition. His life was in danger. They wanted to stone him.
And Yeshua.
And Yeshua. Yeah, very dangerous. They wanted to stone him, put life in danger. And what did he gain? So there's two ways of working this. Either it was a miscalculation on Kalev's part, that he thought that he could influence them, whole Klal Yisrael differently. But I doubt it. I mean, that's silly. You know, to think that one person against in another 10 people, yeah, it doesn't make sense. You know, even he's one aide against 10 aidim, it doesn't make sense. So what did he think that he's going to accomplish by standing up and saying, no, it's fine! And they're going to say, no, it's not fine. So what? So there's two mahalachim to this. We said in previous years, one mahalach is, you know, Nebuch, if a person falls out of a window and he falls down 10 stories, and there's nothing to break his fall, no, he's a dead man. But if at any stage someone down on the fifth floor, you know, he falls out the window, falls on the roof, and he breaks his fall, and then he falls down another few stories, then it's a big difference between falling twice from five stories and falling once from 10 stories. So according to this Peshat, what Kolev actually did was he broke the fall. There was Meraglim torpedoing the wish of Eretz Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael going to Eretz Yisrael. Kolev managed to knock out that missile, then sent another missile after that. So it was two missile attacks rather than one direct hit, which saved things to an extent. That's one Peshat. But Ramesha says no. Ramesha says, and this is so fantastic, Be'ez Hashem, you're going to Chinuch, and Be'ez Hashem, you're dealing with people who are in Kiruv or with family. This is so encouraging. Ramesha says that just like within physical terms, to save a person's life, L'chai Yishol, let's say Chas V'Sholom, a person has a road accident, and, you know, on Shabbos, and an ambulance comes, and an ambulance says, this person will not be able to live. You know, we can resuscitate him, we can do work on resuscitating him, but he won't survive more than a few days. Al pi din Torah, according to the Torah, a person is mechuyev to do everything, including be machal Shabbos, to save this person's life, even if it is for a very short time. That's a halacha. So machal Shabbos, and he mechuyev to be do everything he possibly can to save this person, even for a chaye shol, even for a short period of time. Says Rav Moshe, don't think for one moment there is no chiyuv to put every last bit of energy you have to give in ruchnius as well a chaye shol. If you can save somebody for a short period of time, you mechuyev to put all your energy in to doing that. Kolev resuscitated Klal Yisrael for those 5 minutes when he's giving his drosha. What happened after that? Fine, the Anoshim spoke again, they took the mic and they destroyed them again, but for 5 minutes Klal Yisrael were again holding. For 5 minutes all these people were believing that we can believe in Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael can control it. That's not worth it. 5 minutes. I what happens after that? What happens after? No, the person dies. But it's Chai Yishol, and it's worthwhile investing in Chai Yishol. How does this come up practically? Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein was approached by Rosh Hashiva in Bnei Brak. There's a certain bochur in the yeshiva who unfortunately is not interested in learning, and they've really invested a lot of koyach into doing everything they possibly can to get him interested, but he's not interested. At this stage though, he's not a bad influence. And to have him in the yeshiva will not be detrimental to the other bochurim. But within the next few weeks, naturally, if you don't go up, you go down, and therefore he will be bad influence. The question is as follows. The yeshiva is limited financially. Should they keep him in the yeshiva and pay for his being in the yeshiva, which comes to some expense on putting their effort and money into helping the other boys who can bear fruits? Because at the end of the day, this boy is going to go up in 2-3 weeks and he'll be sent to yeshiva anyway. What should we do? Should we send him to yeshiva now or not? So Zilberstein said, from this Rav Moshe Feinstein, who's a post kadoyer who can paskin, that if those 3 weeks he can stay in the yeshiva and he can be holding for another 3 weeks, what happens after that is not something we should worry about now. We have to worry about now Chai Yishol, and therefore money, effort and patience with this boy has to be number one, our priority now. Everyone can do tshuva. You can do tshuva later, and you know, who knows what happens to this boy afterwards. But that is what's Chai Yishol. Sometimes you put enormous efforts into bochurim and yeshiva. You really do. And Baruch Hashem, there's incredible nachas one gets, and they build up wonderful homes, and they're fantastic husbands and fathers, and many of them are choshev v'rabbonim. And sometimes you invest, and you don't see such nachas, unfortunately. And you get a bit of chalisha sadas, you get a bit upset that, you know, oh, sort of a waste of my time, this guy is such a waste of time. He was not a waste of time. When he was with you in yeshiva for that period of time, no, he was in yeshiva for 3 years, and look at him today. He was in yeshiva for Chai Yishol for 3 years. You gave him those 3 years. In truth, nothing's really wasted, because even if somebody has difficult times, nothing really gets lost. And very often, later on in life, one comes back. Yeah, or as one Talmud said, wasn't to me, as to somebody else, that, you know, although he's doing Averis, he doesn't do Averis with such enjoyment that he would have done without the yeshiva. Yeah? But this is the Chayei Shav of Moshe. The Chayei Shav of Moshe Vayaskoli, who's able to keep them going for 5 minutes. And let me just finish off with one thought. Later on in the parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is a frightening thought also from the Zayin Torah. You know the paper?
Yes, I do.
Later on the parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu compliments Kalev. Yeah? And the Pasuk says, Perk Yudal Apostle of Dalad. Before that talks about in other words, all these people who did bad are not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Va'avdi kolev, by my Ebed kolev, Ekev hoisa roach acheres imoi, since he had roach acheres, he will v'havi oisiv al ha'ores asher bo shoma v'zari yushani, he will go into Eretz Yisrael. Which means, listen to this carefully, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying out loud, and just telling you, Klal Yisrael, I have some very, very, very bad news for you. Every single person over here between 20 to 60 is going to die in the Midbar. Nobody, besides Sheva Levi, nobody from the other Shvatim is going to go to Eretz Yisrael besides Kalev.
Yeshua.
Does the apostle talk about Yeshua?
No.
Not a word. Now, what's Yeshua thinking? You know what? What are we thinking at this stage? You know, and we have Ravi. Yeah, we have a... Two Pesukim later, we have Ravi. Right? And you have a long Misha Beirachs, and you have a good shmooze with the guy next to you, Chas V'Shalom, right? What happened to poor Yeshua? Yeah, Yeshua also did great. What's with poor Yeshua? Later on, a few Pesukim later, the Pasuk says, V'Yeshua, Pasuk Lamed Ches, Pasuk Lamed, sorry. Im atem tavoyu el ha'ores asher sosis yodeh l'shakim eschem bom ki im kolei ben yufune v'yeshua ben nun. Yeah, so a few pesukim later after Ravi, now Yeshua ben Nun's back on the screen. What happened? Yeah, why not before Yeshua ben Nun? It says in Zayin Torah that ultimately Yeshua ben Nun did not show his protest to Klal Yisrael at the time. He may have shown his protest to the Meraglim, but in a public forum, we did not see that Yeshua stood up against a bad influence. What we do see is that Kolev ben Yefuneh did, and he said, "Yes, Kolev Esa'om," he said, "We can do it." A few psukim later, it says that Yeshua and Kolev tore their clothes. Yeah, the Pasuk says that. That is Perik Yudalad Pasuk Vav. But where did Yeshua do it? That's Perik Yud Gimel Pasuk Lamed. And therefore, because Kolev was the one who stood up openly and talked about bad influence, Kolev is the one who we hear about later on who gets the schar. Since Yeshua only showed his face second time round, he only talked about saving him and that he'll go into Eretz Yisrael second time round. And therefore this is the obligation we have to stand up against bad influence. This is this week's parasha. This week's parasha is incredible what's going on in the world. You know, to be an Elohi today, if you listen to the media, we're all parasites, all of us. We don't pay taxes. Yeah, we're the ones destroying Israeli economy. We're the ones that are fault living in the Shtachim. We are terrible people. Yeah, we're wife beaters. We don't look after our kids. Now, I'm happy to invite any of these people into our homes for Shabbos. Yeah, we're not doing that bad. We really aren't. Baruch Hashem, we look after our wives correctly. Look after our children correctly. Baruch Hashem, our kids are not starving. Yes, and we are paying tax. Believe me, we're paying tax. Right? We are. As if when you buy a loaf of bread, you're not paying VAT. Yeah, we are paying taxes. We're paying a lot of taxes. And we are keeping Eretz Yisrael going. End of the day, Eretz Yisrael is different to any other country. It's based on our Kedusha. Kedusha Sa'aretz. And Kedusha Sa'aretz is based on Torah. And it's based on our mitzvahs. And the only survival Eretz Yisrael, the whole world, Rechaim Lodzner said, especially Eretz Yisrael, is how much mitzvahs we put into the land. And therefore, those people are not doing the mitzvahs. Those people who are bimachal Shabbos and are kicking, you know what the Torah says, are living off our zechusin. They are the parasites. They are living off our Torah. And we wish them, we invite them back to come in and to be influenced by how beautiful Torah is. But you listen and you hear, and eventually, you know, you start thinking, you know, maybe you shouldn't. We cannot allow ourselves either. We become like Yeshua, who totally do not listen to the media at all. Or we have to know, and then we've got a daven that we do not get influenced by any of this bad press. We know who we are. We know where we're going. And even if we do have, you know, the disadvantages like Kolev and Yeshua, we should overcome them and Be'ezus Hashem be the ones to be Yerush, not only Yerush Yisrael, but be Yerush and Be'ezus Hashem Olam HaBo as well.